The postcard read, in Persian, Italian, and English, "One memory of Iran that I present to my very pretty Sarah," and was signed Bahman and Reza. It was 1973. I was 20 years old and doing my penurious grand tour of Europe with a girlfriend from the University of North Wales, where we were both American students abroad. Armed with youth hostel cards and Eurail passes and more confidence than we had the sense for, we set sail for the continent, off to see the world. We arrived in Pisa late one night, cold, tired, and hungry. As we stood in the blinkered darkness, a carload of young Italian men drove by, shouting and leering at us. We ignored them, but they kept returning, and eventually stopped and got out. I felt ill with fear. By this time, not an ounce of intrepid traveler was left in me. I felt exposed and vulnerable and raw. Then from across the street, a tall, slender man came toward us. "Excuse me," he said with a slight bow and an accent I couldn't place. "I am Reza. I have been watching. You are having trouble, no?" I wanted to burst into tears. "You must not misunderstand me," he said, "but I can offer you a place for staying the night." He was well-groomed and courteous, but he was also a stranger in a strange land, something I'd been warned to stay clear of all my life. However, the thought of being off the streets was immensely appealing. "Perhaps I could help you, no?" he continued. I looked him in the eye. "We would love to take you up on your kind offer," I said, "but we don't know you, and we really don't need any more hassles." "I understand," he said. "You can have the apartment where I am living, and I will be going with my friend Bahman at his house. We are from Iran. We study architecture here in this city." My strict upbringing was screaming at me not to follow this unknown man in this unknown city at this late hour. But I wanted to believe in his goodness. I needed to believe in his goodness. We followed him into the darkness. His apartment was typical student digs. Bahman was a shorter, stockier man with a twinkle in his eye, but equally courteous. "My father is Persian," he said. "My mother a Cossack." At that, he brought out a care package from his mother, filled with homemade cookies and breads. Reza poured the wine, and Bahman handed out pastries that tasted of sesame seed and almond, and to our young, romantic minds, of sands like soft bodies and moonlit oases. Around midnight, I announced with trepidation that it was my bedtime. "You must keep this door locked," said a resigned Reza as they prepared to leave. They wished us good night in Persian and were gone. We slept the sleep of the safe and well cared for. Next morning, a knock came at the door. Bahman Reza came on in with fresh bread, jam, and butter. For the rest of that day, they escorted us around Pisa, showing us the sights and sharing the rewards of their studies as they vitalized each building with a short lecture on its architectural history and significance. Finally, it was time to leave. Reza and Bahman tried to convince us to stay, spinning out tales like male Scheherazades of all the places they still wanted to take us. But we wanted to be in Rome for Easter, and too, felt we'd accepted enough of their kindness. When they put us on the train, we didn't exchange addresses or make promises to meet again someday. Instead, they gave us each a postcard, one memory of Iran. Over the years, I've often thought back to these two men, and especially now with America at such odds with Iran, and I wonder, where is Reza? Where is Bahman? Are they suffering under our American sanctions? Do they need me now, as I once needed them? Do they sometimes recall that night, long ago in Pisa, when we were four young college students, our whole lives before us, who, by chance, spent 24 hours together? I wonder. With the whiff of war in the air, will our sons be asked to kill one another? I wonder. Where is Reza? Where is Bahman?